Well, we want to welcome you back to the Heights podcast. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors at Heights Baptist Church in Alvin, Texas. And this week, I am joined by Jackie Marcel, who is our director of children's ministries here at Heights. And you've actually been a part of Heights for a long time, right?
I have been.
How many years have you and your family been a part of Heights?
Well, I have been a part of Heights since, I'm thinking 28, 29 years.
Wow.
When we moved to Alvin, I was going into my freshman year. So we realized that we needed to go ahead and connect and get a church home. And we realized that Alvin had as many churches in Little Alvin than we have in the whole United States. So we went to plenty of churches in Alvin, and we landed at Heights. Thank God for that, because that's where I met my husband. We have our family, and that's where we've been rooted since then. And actually, my husband has been coming here since he's been in second grade, so a lot longer than that.
So, no kidding.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I think you've told it before, but I want to hear it again. Tell me the story about how about you in church and Kenny coming and sitting down next to you. Tell me that story, because I just love the story.
Okay, so I love it too. We have been going to Heights for a little while, but kind of off and on. You know, I knew him from school, and I knew his parents came here. So his dad and my dad became friends. And then, you know, we would hang out every once in a while, and we had the people that we were dating at the time. But I had come to church, and I was dating this guy, and I really wanted it to work, but God did not, and I'm blessed for that. But I did go, and I sat down next to my parents, and I was leaving a chair open for this guy, and I was like, God, if he comes and sits, then I know that he's the one, and I'm going to make it work. But Kenny's parents actually were sitting in front of us with a chair open for Kenny to come. And Kenny didn't come very often, and neither did I. So I'm sitting there waiting, and I'm like, okay, well, this is not going to happen. And then I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I was like, oh, he's here. And I turned, and it was Kenny. And he was like, is the seat taken? And I go, no, you can sit here. So my future husband came and sat next to me at church, so it was really cool.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history. Kid after kid after kid after kid. So, yeah.
So remind me and remind the audience that's listening, how many kids have you got and how old are they?
Okay, so I have four, and I have three girls and a boy. My oldest just turned 17, which is crazy just to say out loud. And they're all about to move up in age. So I'll have 17 and then 15 and then 13. And then Jake is 10. He'll be 11 in March. So,
yeah. Okay. So yours are actually spaced kind of similar to mine. Because
yes.
Mine are, I've got 13. I've got fixing to be 14. Just turned 12. Almost 10. And then fixing to be 8.
Yeah.
We're just a couple years behind you. Kind of similarly spaced. Four kids. There's never a dull moment at my house. I don't know what your house is like.
Oh my gosh, never. I always compare it to a tornado, just constant tornado going through. Fun, but a tornado.
And we even have the same number of girls and boys.
Yeah.
Because I've got one boy and three girls, and you've got three girls and one boy.
Yep.
So the only difference is the order.
Yeah. For sure.
Wow. So one of the things that I wanted to talk specifically with you about today is just kind of how, as a parent, you manage all of that chaos.
Okay.
Because we've been, as we've been exploring these last several episodes, I've been talking with different people on staff at Heights, and we've been talking about how, you know, kind of just how we take care of family. I had Pastor Nathan on last time, and we spent a lot of time talking about the importance of being pastor dad and being dad first.
Uh-huh.
But I was thinking, so for those of us that are faithful followers of Christ, we're going to be very involved in our churches.
Right.
Now, you and I specifically, we're on staff at churches, but I'm thinking even, you know, people that are volunteers or team members, like if they're going to be committed to their church, they're going to be there on Sunday morning. They're going to be in a life group or maybe a home group during the week. They're probably going to be plugged into a ministry somewhere. And so if you've got kids and you're, you know, very involved in your church, there's just a lot of stuff to manage.
Right.
You know,
sure.
And I've been thinking about, I've been kind of watching you from afar. And I've been thinking about, cause I'm like,
you been praying?
I have been praying. Well, just cause you've got like really active, really involved, really engaged teenagers. Like your kids like play sports and they're involved in extracurriculars and stuff. And I just, so you're in that stage of life where like you're in the minivan Uber, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like you're just constantly driving, like picking kids up, dropping kids off. And so I'm just curious, like, as somebody who is a faithful follower of Jesus and has a lot of responsibilities as a parent, like, how do you balance that? And how do you make all of that work?
Yeah. So it makes me laugh that you were saying about the Uber, because the kids' elementary school music teacher would always call my van the Marcel Mobile, because I never only just had my four. I also had other kids too, moving and going and doing whatever. And we actually did a picture competition between the staff on that, and that's what it was. It was a Marceau Mobile. And then also what you had said earlier about being in ministry. So yes, we are on staff here, but I haven't always been on staff here.
Right.
So I am the children's director, and I've been that for a little over a year. And then before that, several years of doing preschool director. But before that, I was just a volunteer. Like, I joked about, like, I should just be on staff here because I am, like, here all the time. So I think...
You got to be careful when you say that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because God has a sense of humor.
He does. He does. But it's been such a blessing for sure. But I think... some people, when they come and see, like me with my four kids, it's a lot. It's a lot. But God has planted me in a spot that it slowly progressed to the point that we're at now. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just like a Band-Aid rip. It was a slow progression to where I'm at. So just being super involved in the church and having my kids here all the time, they're synonymous, right? So it's not... our home life and our church life, it is one to them because they're here all the time. They serve all the time. They see me. They see Kenny. So it's not, are we going to church? It's, when are we going to church? You know? So that's a blessing for me that they have that mindset. But it does get crazy. It does get busy. I think that just... the leniency of, I know this is logistics, but the church is here. My kids' school is here. One is here. So it's very close. Mm-hmm. And I have community. We have my mom. We have my mother-in-law. A lot of people kind of helping out with that. But just making, letting them know that family is family. Time and school time, but then there's also church time. And like I said, some of that intertwines, but then some of that I also have to be intentional on, okay, this is family time, and I'm not going to run up to the church real quick, because they do ask, are we running up to the church? And I'm like, just for a second. You know, I say it's a blessing to be close to everything, but it can also be a hindrance because I always feel like I'm pulled to come up here. But in the realization of them asking, I'm like, okay, I need to be very intentional about not running up here just to grab something real quick, because then that means that they're coming up when it's their time, I guess.
Gotcha. So, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, people that I know that grew up in church, they talk about, like, you know, when I grew up in church, I had a drug problem. Mom and dad were dragging me to church. I was there every time the doors were open.
For sure.
I grew up in church, and that was never my reaction. Mm-hmm. Church was the center of my world. I love church. I want to be there all the time. Gosh, when I was in high school, I was like an unpaid intern, like in the high school ministry. Uh-huh. And I also was doing, you know, sound and tech and video and stuff like that. And so, like, I would often, well, once I got wheels, once I started driving, like, I would drive up to the church at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, do my schoolwork, you know, and then roll right into, you know, doing ministry stuff. And then, you know, 5:30, I'm doing sound check and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that was never my experience. I loved church. Mm-hmm. I've been so blessed to have kids that love church, mm-hmm. that love mm-hmm. to be at church.
Right.
You know, I've got two in the student ministry now, and they're just like as soon as the doors open, we rolled up yesterday, and we were actually a little bit early because, mm-hmm. you know, because I had to run home, grab them, bring them back, and it wasn't quite time for them to be there yet. I think, you know, it starts at 6, and it was like 5:45. Mm-hmm. They both, like, bounded out of the car, you know.
They were beelining it.
And then they kind of turned around and started coming back. They're like, yeah, nobody's here yet. I was like, yeah, yeah. It's because it's not time yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but so that has been a huge blessing for me. But I wonder, like, what if you're a parent where you're in that situation where, like kids aren't keen on church.
Yeah.
Like, have you experienced any of that over, as you've been raising kids? Or
so I have experienced it when I was a kid.
Okay.
So I had a friend that their dad was a pastor, and she didn't want to go when they had to go. She loved the Lord, and she was walking the walk, but there was a sense of duty and not grace. There wasn't grace in whether she wanted to come or not. It was very hardcore, you know. So I think that really helped me when I started having kids, to kind of look back on that and kind of be sensitive to that, because I didn't want my kids to grow up and not enjoy the church. The church itself, and that would like hinder their relationship with the Lord, because that's right. connected, right? So I didn't want them to feel like it was an obligation. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when they were younger, I do have to say, like, even before I was in ministry, we were here all the time. When the doors were open, Sunday evening, it was choir for the kids, and Sunday mornings, and then Bible study on Wednesday. And then we had something on Sunday evening. So we were here all the time. And so when they started getting older and recognizing that they are here, because they would, you know, they call it their second home, you know, and they were realizing that they were here all the time. And then they started getting into school with, they're starting to make friends, they're getting into the extracurricular things, you know, I had to really kind of pray about what that balance looked like, because I didn't want them to be frustrated when they knew that it was Wednesday and they had to go to church. So I tried to give the leniency over to them a little bit. But I was super fortunate because my kids were like you. They love coming to church. You know, they're like frustrated whenever we don't get to come. Or, you know, if I say, hey, you know, if you guys don't want to come on Wednesday nights or this and that or whatever, it's abnormal to them. So they, and even, you know, and there's going to be seasons of coming to church and being like super connected and having friends. And there's going to be seasons that you don't. And when my daughter was going through a time of not really having friends, I was like, okay, do we need to reevaluate things? Like, what do we need to do? And she was like, what do you mean? Like, no, I'm going to church. And I'm like, are you sure? You still want to not look into different aspects of like different, you know, different churches or whatever? And she was like, no, this is my church. So the fact that we, like, I tried to, and my husband tried to make it very enjoyable to come to church and not just a duty. But of course, we communicate to them that it is what God has called us to do. He be in fellowship with other Christians, and they just thrive on that. So, and it's neat because they love doing it here so much that it's infected, you know, their being at school, being at public school, and then bringing their friends over. So it's neat.
I love it.
Yeah.
Every time, you know, on Wednesdays, I usually kind of poke my head into the student ministry, just kind of say hi and see what's going on. And it's been amazing how many cheerleaders we've got coming on Wednesday. Yeah. And I'm like, I wonder if Haven has something to do with that.
I think
it's fantastic. You mentioned something that I thought was really important that I wanted to circle back to you real quick, which is that it was really important as your kids are growing up that their positive or negative feelings about being active at church doesn't like kind of interfere with like their whole like relationship with the Lord.
Right.
And what I'm hearing you say when you say that is like the importance of making sure that we as parents are discipling our children.
Yes, for sure.
And that's something that Pastor Nathan and I talked about last time about how it's just important. Like our first responsibility as parents is to share the gospel with the little ones that live in our house that have our same last name.
Right. Right.
You know, and I think so it's especially for those of us in ministry because we've got busy, like our calendars are full, you know, and especially, you know, you where you're in a life stage where your kids are a little bit older, they're doing more stuff. You're putting more miles on your minivan than I'm putting on mine right now. but it's what's important is like, do our children have a relationship with God? Do they understand the gospel?
Right.
You know, and I think it's very important because I think we as parents can sometimes make the mistake that taking our kids to church is discipleship. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, dropping them off, having them be involved in kids ministry or having them be involved in student ministry, that is discipleship. And I would say, like, those are all good things. Like, it's a very good thing to have your kid at church, have them participating in student ministry or have them participating in kids ministry. But there's no substitute for you as a parent sharing Christ with your kids.
Right.
Yeah, and that's how my testimony works. You know, mm-hmm. when I tell people about how I got saved because my mom and dad shared the gospel with me starting mm-hmm. when I was little.
Right.
You know, and I, growing up, I didn't just understand this is church and this is what we do on Sunday. Like, I understand from the earliest ages that, you know, that sin was the problem and the answer was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I understood mm-hmm. that I needed to have a relationship with Jesus myself personally, you know, before I stepped foot in a church. Church is a part of what we do as followers of Jesus, but it's not the only thing we do.
Right. I think it was very interesting because I was actually talking to Jonathan the other day, and I was feeling kind of inadequate on the discipling my children because I have four of them, and it gets busy. I mean, it was busy when they were little, but it hasn't changed. It's just a different busy now, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were intentional about getting all of them in a room and reading the Bible and going through there's so many great resources that we have now, but a picture Bible and the stories of Christ and the questions. But when you get a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old in one room talking about one story, it can get a little chaotic and crazy or whatever. So when we were talking, I was like, man, maybe I should have been more intentional with the kids. Maybe I should have just to get that one-on-one time with them is really hard too, because there's four of them, you know, and it's busy. And so I was feeling kind of guilty on not being more intentional. And Jonathan brought it to my attention that I was discipling them. I disciple them on the way that I reflect Christ in my life. Mm. You know, reading the Bible, saying I'm sorry when you get upset, because I know that, you know, the family gets like the worst of you sometimes, right? Because you're trying to do everything. And by the end of the day, it's like not fun to kind of interact when you're not having a great day or they're not listening or whatever. But having them see that I can realize that I've done wrong and I can ask for an apology from that, to be humbled in that or whatever. So what he communicated to me is that I'm discipling them as well just by my actions and the way that I can love the Lord or in different circumstances, when circumstances come up, and then I can get all of them. Because when we're all in one van, they have to listen to me. They don't have anywhere else to go.
You get a captive audience.
Yeah, right? So in those times, I can use it as teachable moments to say, hey, what happened a minute ago was not right. That was not what God would want us to do or act or however that. And they have to listen because they're in my car. So just leading by example, really, it really comforted me to know that Jonathan was communicating that to me. And, you know, I look at my kids now and I see them reaching out to their friends and having a desire to like ask them to come to church, but not even to come to church, but to disciple them in a way that is good for their age. And I think it's really cool that we're doing this initiative on discipling others, because now it's a outline of what they might be doing already, you know? So it's just really cool to see that. And then I can see like my oldest will do certain things, and then my next one will see what my oldest does, and she loves that. So then she is reaching out to her friends, and she gravitates towards Christ-centered kids, you know. And then now my number three daughter, she'll look at the older two and be like, hey, you know, that seems like it's going well. Let me do what she's doing. So then she's inviting her friends. And then now my son is a whole nother self that I had to do, or not self. I say self. I guess he does act like me sometimes, but he's just full of energy. And it was just a different perspective for me with him. But it's just so cool to watch him as well, because he is following in those footsteps on loving others and wanting others to know Christ as well. And when I was communicating, just like coming to church versus having a relationship with the Lord, he asked Christ to be his Lord and Savior, not this past VBS, but the VBS before. Mm-hmm. And as a mom that is in church all the time, he sees his sisters. I wanted him to know that it wasn't what we do. It's you asking, you realizing that you're a sinner and that you need Jesus to save you. So I kind of let it go off for a little while on baptism. But the other day, it was just such a natural conversation. And he just knew that he needed to be saved and Jesus the one to do that. So he'll be baptized soon. So I'm super excited fantastic. About that. Yeah.
Praise God for that. You know, I think it's so important for us to remember as parents that we believe in a gospel of grace. Mm. You know, all of us, Jesus came and met us at our worst.
Yeah.
You know, but God demonstrates his own love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Right. And so I think it's really important for us to remember, one, to be filled with grace when we're parenting. Because and when our kids mess up on a daily, hour, minutely basis, to respond with grace. And I'm not saying that I do that well. I'm preaching to myself right mm-hmm, now. But mm-hmm. I mean, to keep that in mind, that Jesus came and met us at our worst, mm-hmm. which means we have to be filled with grace when we're dealing with our kids mm-hmm. at their worst. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then also when we mess up, to remember that we worship a God of grace. And yeah. so to measure ourselves grace, mm-hmm. but also to model for our kids, this is what grace looks like.
Yeah.
This is what I'm sorry looks like. This is what I forgive you looks like. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's something that it's something that I think is so important for us to remember, you know, because I think sometimes we are these people that have been filled with God's grace. And then when our kids act less than graciously, you know, we kind of want to drop the hammer on them. Right. Or at least I, as a dad, you know, want to drop the hammer on them. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about yesterday, last night, Kat was working. So I had the kids by myself and the little one wasn't feeling good. And I was just so impressed by the way my oldest daughter just took care of her and mm-hmm. took care of everything. And mm-hmm. I didn't ask,
yeah.
you know, I didn't say to Naomi, hey, can you take care of Esther? She just did it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. She was so loving, uh-huh. you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Whereas, and my youngest one has been in kind of a hard season right now where mm-hmm. We've been griping about it and talking about it in life group. And, you know, please pray for the 7-year-old because she's kind of driving us crazy right now. But just so all of us, you know, have had those times in the last several months where we've been like, oh, Esther, you know, da, da, da. She was just so filled with grace in the way that she took care of her little sister. Mm-hmm. And I was so impressed. Like, I was in awe. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And Esther sees that, right?
Esther sees that.
She sees her older sister doing those things. And then it's going to be something that she's receiving the blessing. So soon she'll be able to, you know, reflect what Naomi has been doing. So
that's going to be awesome.
That day's going to be awesome. Yeah.
So your girls are real involved in ministry here at Heights. They're mm-hmm. involved in serving here at Heights. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I think about frequently is there's, like we talked about, especially for those of us that are on staff, there's times where our kids are going to have to be here because we have to be here because we got to work. You know what I mean?
Right.
How do you kind of balance that between like, I want you to be excited about serving, but then there's also going to be days where like, I need a body in this room or I need help with check-in or things like that. How do you navigate that with your kids?
I pay them.
Nice.
No, I'm kidding. No. So because I was in preschool ministry for a hot second, right? My kids love preschool kiddos. And from the oldest 17 to the 10-year-old boy, I mean, they just gravitate towards preschoolers. So it doesn't really take much for me to get them to serve and to help out, because actually I have to tell them to stop serving. Like, please get out of that hallway. We need to get those babies out. But they just have a desire to do that. But there are some times that I want to ask them if they are going to serve. But then there's sometimes like, hey, baby, usually I ask you, can you please, you know, serve? But this time I need you to serve. And I think that because I've been gracious those other times in giving them the out, and if they decide not to, then I can be okay with not to, mm-hmm. because I did give them a choice, right?
Yeah.
So when the times come that I have to say, hey, I need this. I don't have any other volunteer to step into the spot.
Right.
Then they're more willing to do it versus being demanding every time. And like I said, it does help that it's a ministry that they really enjoy doing. So.
I've really been enjoying serving alongside my son as he's kind of started to gravitate towards serving in tech ministry. And so he does pro presenter and media for us. He does camera for us. He's done a lot of kind of the behind the scenes tech stuff. Mm-hmm. And we have a great time, especially like when we're doing like some of the ladies events. If it's just the two of us, then like, you know, we go get food afterwards and kind of have some of that one-on-one time. Yeah. That's not, you know, that's so rare in our house. You know, you know, there's a lot of estrogen in my house. You know? So it's nice when it's just the two of us hanging out. But yeah, I try and do the same thing, which is that I try and always ask and not tell. And then when I have those times where it's like, hey, I had somebody cancel on me last minute. Do you mind covering? And he's always, you know, happy to do that. But I don't want to ever take my kid's service for granted.
Yes.
I always want to say thank you. I want to treat him with the same respect that I treat any of my other team members.
Right.
You know, and so I always want to say thank you. I always want to say please. I always want to say can you? You know, and so last Sunday, I had a hole that I needed to fill. And I didn't have anybody in that spot. But I asked him, I was like, hey, you know, I've got to cover this position kind of at the last minute. Would you be willing to do that? Do you want me to see if I can find somebody else? And he was like, do you think you could ask, you know, do you have somebody else you could ask? And I could sense from talking to him, like he was ready for a break. He was ready for a Sunday to not be in the sound booth.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and so I really wanted to respect that.
Yeah,
you know?
And
so we got it covered and it was great.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm so grateful that, that I have kids that are excited about, serving in the church. Hannah on the greeter team. That's always been kind of fun.
Yes. Oh, she's so sweet. I love her.
David in the tech booth. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, I always want, I never want to just assume that it's okay to press my kids into service.
Right, right. Or to have anyone else assume that either, because you can get into that, like the Nelson girls, super awesome, you know, and I always am very intentional on like, hey, they're old enough now that I can ask them themselves instead of asking their mom. But I'm like, hey, I need you, but if you cannot, you need to tell me, and I'm okay with that, you know, so I just want to make sure that my kids are protected as well, you know, in that, and giving them the option, like, you can say no, but if you want to, you can say yes, you know, so, yeah.
When it comes time to manage a busy calendar as a family, do you and Kenny, do you do a lot of the games and performances and stuff together, or do you guys do a lot of divide and conquer? How do you guys normally manage that as a family?
You know what? We do a lot of both. Actually, we're really good about being able to get to the kids' things together. And if we aren't, then the other one will step in and then we'll come later. I think the kids are so used to having all four different schedules that one will look at me and like, mom, are you going to be there? And I'm like, I'm going to your brother's game, but I will be there in a little bit. But your mom is like, your dad's going, your grandma's going, you know. So we try to cover all bases and be very intentional on, you know, we did everything for Haven. We were there all the time. Now we have Avery and Haven has a little bit more freedom. So saying, hey, are you going to your sister's game? You know, and then the half look. I do have homework tonight. And I'm like, okay, I understand that you have homework and you get a pass. But they're very intentional about coming to the other kids' games as well because we support each other. And, you know, they really like coming and watching the games as well, you know, watching their siblings do what they do, you know. So it's a lot of fun. And it's nice that Kenny is self-employed and the church is very lenient with my hours as well.
There's some flexibility there.
Yeah. So I'm able to move into those spots and watch the kids. So that helps out a lot.
Was it harder to take care of little ones or is it harder to take care of teenagers?
Oh, I have to say little ones for sure.
Really?
Yes. Because I had them so close together. I had a baby, a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And sometimes when I act goofy now or I can't remember something and I'm like, that's why. it's those kids. Like,
did you as a parent ever do the thing where you like call the kids the wrong names? Like, oh, you can't remember their names
all the time. All the time. And I actually called them by numbers. And uh-huh. Like one day Haven was like, we know what number we are, Mom. I'm like, oh, okay. Whatever. Yes, but it is. But they're used to it as well. And actually, I call our dog Jake's name all the time. And vice versa. And I do Kenny and Jake a lot as well. Because it's a name that I say repeatedly. So. but they just laugh and they enjoy it. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. But they don't know how to be, you know, without the tornado. You know, they have friends that when the kids were younger, I told one of Haven's friends, or I was telling Haven, like, gosh, your friend probably thinks it's, like, crazy here and this and that. And she was like, no, Mom, she prefers to be here than not because she enjoys the interaction and the fun. And I'm like, oh, okay. Cool. You know, it made me feel comforted in knowing that it's a good thing, you know. And then whenever they go out of town and they're on their, you know, summer camps and all of that, I'm like, where are they? You know, because it's so much fun, even in the chaos of running here. I, no joke, when I started in this position, the first thing I did when I got into the office was sat down and wrote down who is picking up who, when, who has practice before school and after school. And I had to do it by the minute on who is picking up when. Wow. And like, I would pull Kenny in, I'd pull my mother-in-law in, my mom, my dad. And I'm like, you're getting them at this time and you're going this time. But I do say that I have forgotten some before, but thank goodness they have cell phones so they can call me or they can track me. And they're like, Mom, you're going the wrong way. My school's this way. And I was like, oh, I'm just joking. So then I make a U-turn and come back and grab them. So, yeah.
Yeah, when we first moved to Houston, we did it because we wanted to be close to family. Mm-hmm. And my wife's mom, she's with Jesus now. Mm-hmm. And several of our family members have moved out of the area or temporarily moved because they're, you know, they move around for work. Mm-hmm. And so we don't really have family close like we used to, mm-hmm. Just a few years ago. And so it can, especially kind of like childcare and getting kids from point A to point B can get tricky sometimes. Mm-hmm. One thing that I would encourage, our families to think about, like if you have family that's close and you can use kind of that extended family to help some of those logistical things, that's awesome. Don't forget about your church family and your life group.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that I have really, that I've seen that's been really cool as we've gone through this last year and had, you know, families that were dealing with crisis that were, you know, and at the medical center for frequently or for very long periods of time is, you know, other members, other families in the church, you know, being able to help with childcare and to be able to help with transportation. You know, I would see kiddos coming to church on Wednesday night for midweek and I'd see, you know, multiple families get out of somebody's minivan.
You know what I mean?
And that's, and so I think it's just important for us to remember we can, you know, in America, we definitely kind of have that whole concept of the nuclear family, you know, mom, dad, kids, and we're kind of our own little island, you know. And so just don't forget about, you know, especially if you don't have, you know, extended family that's close, don't forget about your church family. Mm-hmm. You know, you have people in your church that would love to come alongside you and help you with some of those logistical things. If it's taking care of kids when you're sick or taking care of kids when you've got to be in two places at once. Right. You know, we have been blessed as a family by having some friends in our life group over the years that have been able to come alongside us and help out when on days where both of us had to work or, you know, and things like that.
And the ones that step into those positions, they have a desire to do it. They want to do it.
That's right.
Because I know sometimes like, I'm like, oh, really? You want to take all of them or you want to do this or that or whatever? And they wouldn't ask if they didn't actually want to do it. So to be able to let them come into your life and bless you that way is blessing them and blessing you. But as you say that, I was thinking of the flip side of that as well. I do have to say that my kiddos have created some friendships that I can also pull those parents in to help me out. Like one of the moms is like, hey, I know that Jake is here and he stays here till 5. And then Avery's game is at 5 and my kid is with you. I will grab him and we'll go over to the school and we'll just meet you there, you know. So I'm able to kind of use that as well, but I'm using that as an outreach, right? So I'm connecting to these moms that are doing life with me, but now I'm like opening the door to like, hey, this is what my church looks like. This is what me, you know, having a relationship with the Lord looks like. This is what, you know, so not only are my kids able to invite them to Wednesday nights, I am able to outreach and be like, hey, there's a women's ministry coming, you know, why don't you come with me? So I'm like more open. Of course, people that I know, I'm not going to let a random person grab my child, right, but being able to make those connections and get to know those parents and sit with them at games and do that or whatever. And that, because I did have to evaluate not long ago, I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, I'm supposed to be discipling people, but I'm at church all the time.
Right.
I work here. I volunteer here. I serve here. You know, I worship here. Like, where's my outside ministry? And he was like, I have blessed you with so many kids that have so many friends that have so many parents. And I was like, that's right. I need to be very intentional to, if I have PTO to go to, you know, not to feel bad that I'm going to go to the PTO thing during the day or whatever, because those are times that I'm going to connect with people that may not know the Lord. And then that's an on-ramp to invite them to church. So
it kind of sounds like, as important as it is to have your kids involved in church as a part of their discipleship and their relationship with the Lord, mm-hmm. it's also important for you as a family to find places where you can be involved in things that aren't in church.
Right.
That's one of the ways that you can build those relationships mm-hmm. and love and lead all people to a new life with Christ.
Right. And you know, I got to a point I was like, I'm not doing anything ever again. I've done everything for everybody. I'm done. And God was like, no, you're not done. So, yeah.
Not done.
It's good.
Well, Jackie, I want to say thank you so much for joining me this week for the Heights podcast. Thanks for coming in and sitting down and sharing some of your insight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
I'll just finish on this parting word. As a parent, let me just brag on Heights Baptist Church for a second. I am just so blessed to be able to be a part of a church where my kids are being served well by our student ministry and by our kids ministry, you know, and then when I drop kids off on Wednesday night, I know that they are going to be part of something, that is gospel centered, mm-hmm. you know, that they're going to hear what it means to love Jesus and follow Jesus.
Right.
And I'm just so grateful to be a part of that. So thank you. Thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you.
And I want to say thank you for being a part of this episode. Thanks for watching with us today. We would love if you would like to join us. We've got a campus in Alvin, Texas, on the south side of the Houston metro area. We worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, and we've got life groups for all ages at 9 a.m. You can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and we also have a website, heightschurch.org. We live stream our services every Sunday to Facebook and YouTube. Go ahead and like, subscribe, and follow us for more content like this, where we look at issues of faith, culture, and the church and help you take your next step on your spiritual journey. We'll see you next time.